My name's Keith. I am on the leadership team here at River Church Marlow, and I've been part of this church for quite a number of years. I think it's about 25 years. Does that sound? That sounds too many, doesn't it? 25 years. I've born into the church. So here we go. So the talk this afternoon is on generosity. I just want to start off by saying that this is not a kind of corporate call to dig into your pockets. This isn't a dig into your pockets talk. However, it is a call to dig into your heart. Do you like what I've done there? Probably should have started with a gag, shouldn't I? So I feel like I've gone in too heavy, too hard, too early. So we're talking about generosity this afternoon, and I just want to establish at the start that I just want to make clear that this is not a talk about giving. This is a talk about generosity. I think, and again, these thoughts are my thoughts. They're not, they might be right, they might be wrong. Happy to debate them afterwards. But I think that giving is a principle. Giving is something that you do, that you're called to do, that you're expected to do as a Christian, whereas generosity is actually an attitude. Generosity is something which you choose to do. And the quote that I've put up here about true generosity begins with understanding someone's need. That's why I think the difference between giving and generosity is right from the outset, and that's what I'm talking about generosity, which is true generosity is about recognizing a need that someone has and then meeting that need. So we can all think of examples where someone has been generous to us in some way or another, and I'm sure that the examples you think of will be situations where you had a need and someone met that need, whereas giving is simply just kind of handing something over. It might meet a need, it might not. So I just want to make that clear at the start. So this isn't Dave hasn't sort of gone on holiday and said, "Hey, give him the giving talk," and all of that. This is something that it's been on my heart and felt that it'd be good to share with you guys. Just to mention that Dave is on holiday, so just we want to bless Dave and Chloe wherever they are right now. They do a fantastic job serving and leading this church, and I pray that they have a fantastic time where they are and that God meets with them and refreshes their spirits and their bodies. Okay, right, let's move on. So I want to look at today at four ways that we can be generous, four different parts of generosity. So let me flick on. I'm glad that my slides work, by the way. I sort of reversed them to try and make it all look cool and trendy. I hope you can appreciate that. So the first is through our spirit. So I want to read from the Bible. Believe it or not, this is a Bible. It's exciting times we live in. Okay, so this is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Tim, if you want to do your fast fingers and all of that, feel free. Otherwise, I'll read it out. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Pretty simple so far, yeah? Okay, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Notice there, it doesn't say, now he who supplies loads of cash. Okay, so I want to keep emphasizing, we're not just talking about money here. We're talking about generosity in many ways. Okay, so this is not about cash, this is seed and bread, stuff, okay, possessions. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay, so there's a link between generosity and thanksgiving to God. So that's another good tick in a box. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Let me just read that bit again. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. So there's, and then it goes on to say, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So there's a clear message here for me, which comes through in Scripture, which is that generosity is very much at the heart of God. Generosity is very much linked to the gospel. You know, you can't really have one without the other. So, and it says, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of surpassing grace that has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So first and foremost, generosity is linked to the gospel. It is in God's heart, and it's about what you have, what you own, or what is in your possession, is you're able to provide to someone else to meet a need. Okay, so from a spiritual point of view, I think the best way to convey what we have as Christians, and again, Dave hasn't told me to say this, although he goes on about this quite a lot, but I think it's really important, which is there's five special words, which are the most important five words you could ever say to one, and that is, can I pray for you? Just had to do that on my fingers to make sure it was five words and I got them all right. So can I pray for you is probably the most important thing you could actually ask anybody, because the answer might be yes, and it might be that actually the prayer that you pray could be saving that person's life. So this is literally a matter of life and death. I was at a Christians in Business conference a couple of weeks ago, just to impress you all. It was in a theology college in Cambridge somewhere, and there was a lot of intelligent people there, and I sat at the back and kept very quiet. And the people were talking about their experiences of being Christians in the workplace, in business. And this guy spoke who was he was the head of sustainability for a FTSE 250 company. Pretty important job that he did, and a pretty impressive guy. And during his slides, which was largely consisted of talking about the business, which wasn't actually that interesting, he had this thing about how being a Christian has impacted him in his workplace. And he said this thing about, he put up the slide which said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, which I'm sure we've all heard that, have we? Has everyone heard that before? Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And then he talked a bit about how, you know, someone asked the question, well, what do you actually do in terms of, you know, bringing your faith into your business environment? And he said, well, obviously, you know, I don't want to force my faith on anyone. I don't want to kind of be too, you know, imposing and stuff. But obviously people at church, people at work know I'm a Christian. And I will mention what happened at church and, you know, what happened at the weekend sometimes on a Monday morning. And I sat there and I just kind of filled with sadness, because I just thought, this is not what God's called us to. You know, it's not about, first and foremost, I don't like the quote, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words, because I actually think preaching the gospel is about speaking. And I think there's something powerful about the words we use. And also, I may be wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong, but I don't know many people who have led someone to the Lord without speaking to them. Has anyone done that? Has anyone done it through the medium of dance or mime or puppetry or something? I don't know. Is that? I don't think so. I think mainly we talk to people and people listen to our words. So actually, I understand what the quote's all about. Don't get me wrong. I understand that it's saying we need to act and act out what we're saying and, you know, walk talk and talk talk and all that sort of stuff. I understand that. But I don't think it's an excuse to not speak to people about Jesus. As we know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it says, therefore, go and tell people about what happened at church on a Sunday, and if they ask questions, you can answer them. Doesn't say that. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So the Great Commission is about talking to people, it's about making disciples, it's about taking people on a journey with you. The thing that made me most sad about listening to this guy and thinking, oh, this is really sad that he doesn't pray for people at work and he doesn't, you know, express his faith clearly at work. The saddest thing for me was I actually thought, do I do that? You know, I'm kind of reacting to what he's saying, and then I'm getting all on my kind of hobby horse. But do I do that at work? Do I talk to people about, do I even tell them about what happens at church? Do I talk to them about faith? Do I talk to them about Jesus? Do I talk to them about love? And there have been times where I've offered to pray for people, but I know that there's more opportunity there than I've probably explored. I think these five words, can I pray for you? It seems as a Christian that we're more scared about that sentence, that question, than anybody else probably is. I actually have a sense that most people, when I've spoken to anyone who's not a Christian or goes to church or whatever, whenever I've talked to them about prayer, people generally have a pretty good understanding of prayer. I actually think that that the concept of prayer is probably the best understood part of the Christian faith by people that aren't in the Christian faith. I actually think that if you go outside and talk to people and ask them questions about the Bible or about God or Jesus or whatever, they might have some knowledge and some ideas. But if you say to them, do you understand what prayer is? People will get that because it's simply talking to God. And I think most people would admit to, not admit, that sounds bad, but non-Christians would admit to actually praying at some point in their lives, particularly in times of trouble and struggle. So I actually think the barriers aren't anywhere near what we think they might be to offering prayer to people. Certainly whenever I've offered prayer to someone, either at work or outside of work, who doesn't have a faith, they've always said yes, always. I'm sure there are people that have said no, but... So that's the first one in spirit. So the first thing is a spiritual thing. It's a prayer thing. And you don't even need to pray for the person there and then. You can pray for them. You can say, can I pray for you? Is it all right to pray for you now? Okay, no, that's fine. I'll pray for you. I'll keep you in my prayers. I certainly do, whenever anyone contacts me at work to say that they're ill or that someone else is ill. We've had someone recently at work whose grandma died quite suddenly. And she's been very upset, and I've just said, look, I'll be praying for you. I hadn't actually prayed for her, but I've said I'll be praying for her, and I know that she appreciates that, and that might be something towards something for her. I recognize that in church, when you hear lots of talks, it's a lot of information. I'm going to just say two things. One of the things I should have said at the start, which is a disclaimer, and that is often when you hear a talk at a church, you think the person that's talking about it is an expert and they've got it all sorted. First and foremost, that is certainly not true in this case. So I've not got this sorted, so I'm talking to myself as much as to you. And when I did this talk to myself earlier today, it was received really well. So I just want you to know that this is the second time I've done the talk, and I'm hoping it gets received as well as the first. The second thing you need to know about when I do talks at church is that they're never straightforward. They're never a normal talk. So there's always a little bit of audience participation. So I needed to probably start off by asking, is that okay? Yeah, okay. So Pete, you can go. Everyone else can stay. Okay, so first bit of audience participation. First person to come to the microphone with a fantastic example story of how someone offering to pray for you has made a big impact on your life.
Probably when I was in my lowest spiritual moment after just having led this church and handing it on. That's pretty honest, isn't it? It was a really, really tough season at one point for me. And Stephen and Mara Klemick just came and prayed for me. And it was just like, as he put it, it was like the canoe in my life that was going the wrong direction just got turned round. And God was in the canoe. And had been in the canoe for a very long time, believe me. Well, so it felt like it.
Brilliant. Now, I didn't ask you that because I couldn't think of one myself. I have lots of examples of it, but I think it's better to involve other people and hear that, because I think lots of you could have come up and given a story then. And it's great that Al's got a simple story there where someone at a key time in his life, he had a need, which was, I'm feeling fragile and vulnerable. And someone came along and met that need in a spiritual way with through an act of generosity. Because you don't have to pray for anyone. Again, it's not part of what you do necessarily. It's something you choose to do. But it's a way that we can spiritually meet people's needs and be generous and be able to pray. And, you know, in that case, prophesy over someone is a fantastic way to bring the spirit of God and the spirit of generosity into a situation, open that up. Okay, let's move on. What time am I here till? 6:30, is that right? Okay, let me move on. It might be a quieter reception at that point. Okay, the next one, let's move on. I'm only kidding. I don't talk a lot. Okay, time. So the next one is time. The way we can be generous is through our time. Now, the common phrase you hear is, I'm too busy. If someone says to you, can you help me with this? Can you do this for me? Is there any chance you could do this? I'm too busy. Please put your hand up if today, here and now, you're not a busy person. Not right now, obviously, because... You're busy listening to me, obviously, but generally in life, you know, there's not many hands that go up, is there? There's not many hands. There's maybe a few people that are in a season or a time in their life where actually something's come to an end, something might be starting, and there might be kind of that period. But generally, we're all busy. Generally, everyone's busy. So it just the best assumption is that everyone's going to be busy. And the fact that everyone's busy means that when people give you their time, actually... makes quite a difference, doesn't it? When someone gives you some of their time, I always feel really privileged to have time with people that I know that are busy, but I know that I'm gaining something from them and they're not gaining anything from me because they're being generous to me with their time. And I think, you know, people say time is money, but actually, if anything, time is more valuable than money because time is the one resource you can't get any more of. So, you know, you can get more money, but you can't get more time. So if someone gives you some of their time, it's a precious thing. And I think we can be generous with our time, whether that's generous to the church in terms of serving, doing teas and coffees, welcome, getting here early, praying, whatever it is, or doing stuff out on the street, or whether it's to relationships and friendships. I know from personal experience that, A, when you give people your time, they're very, very, feel very, very blessed by it, and B, when people give you their time, it works both ways. We once... The church has had strong links with Lesotho and a church in Lesotho called Fill the Gap Ministries. And in 2001, a group of us went over, a youth group actually. Was anyone, Nigel, you were there, weren't you? Was it 2001? It was about then, wasn't it? Yeah, 2000. So there was a group of us that went over to Lesotho, which is a country which is surrounded by South Africa. And basically, what happened in Lesotho is the guy who led the church over there, Michael Colasang, he was driving to the church building one day and saw loads of kids on the streets. And he was basically thinking, what's this all about? So he set up a school which was free because he found out that these kids weren't at school because their parents couldn't afford it. So straight away, generosity, he's using the church building, setting up a load of stuff, doing it for free for these kids. They got hundreds of kids there. And basically, they were having... some of their lessons under the shade of a big tree. So they got 60 kids in one class from aged 5 up to 20. More than that, 120. Higher! 500 children. It was loads, wasn't it? It was two classes, 190. 90 in one, 100 in the other. I should have got my facts before I started this. Thanks for coming, Gene. So 90 under one tree, 100 under another tree. If there'd been any more trees, they would have been under there as well. And basically, we had collected as a church some money to build a building. I'm now looking over here for confirmation on everything I'm saying. To build a building. And we'd gone out there and seen the school one year, and then a couple of years later had gone back because we'd funded these buildings that were going to be set on the grounds, the church grounds, which were going to be classrooms. So we went out there to build the foundations. Nigel was the expert because he knows exactly what he's doing. We were all just there messing about, basically. But we were there digging these trenches, twizzling these little metal bands together to act as reinforcement for this. I mean, Nigel was like laughing because he's like, seriously, guys, this is just taking like a porter cabin. And these foundations, you could build like a 30-story building on them because they're so like engineered. But that's how they wanted them. So that's what we were doing. Anyway, we were over there. It was a group of, what, 20 of us, 25 of us, young people, older people. And we were digging, getting dirty with these guys, these Lesotho guys. And we were like digging trenches next to them, picking out big rocks. They were doing most of the heavy work. We were doing kind of all the little jobs. But it was really exciting. Now, what was the point of the story was that we went over there and they weren't interested in what we had. They weren't interested in our possessions or what clothes we were wearing or, you know, what we brought to the site or what we had in our cars. They weren't interested in our money. They weren't asking for money and trying to get money from us. What they were interested in was the fact that we'd flown so far around the world to go and help them dig a ditch, basically. They were interested in that because they could see that we had given our time and they knew that that was precious to us. So the generosity of giving our time to work on something with those guys meant so much to them. And we got far more out of it, as you do when you are generous. Generally, as it says in 2 Corinthians, you end up receiving far more back. But we gave our time, and that's what was important. So we can be generous with our time. So who are we there for? Who are we giving our time to? Because they're the people that are important in our lives. You know, where you put your money shows what you think is important in your life, and where you give your time shows what you think is important in your life. The fact that you are here on a lovely Sunday evening with the sun shining, and for some of you there's a very important football match going on, the fact that you're here shows that you value this church and you value the chance to receive from God and meet with God in this place. So that's a value you've put on your time. So who's getting our time? Who are we giving our time to? Who are we putting space in our diaries for? And also, who's giving us their time? And are we thanking them properly? Are we making sure we're being respectful and honouring of people that are being generous to us? Because it's easy when someone gives you a check to be really thankful, isn't it? It's really easy when someone is generous in a practical way. When someone gives you a car, or someone gives you a pair of shoes, or a hat, or a sweet, whatever it is, doesn't matter how big it is, when someone gives you something, it's really easy to think, that's an act of generosity and I'm going to be thankful. But when someone gives you their time, are we thanking people properly for the time they give us and their expertise and experience and stuff that they're putting into you and helping you with your life? Dave and I recently went and visited a couple of churches of people that in Pioneer, a couple of guys that we know. We just wanted to go and see what they were doing and everything. And we were kind of really grateful that they gave us their time. And because these are busy guys who are doing lots of stuff leading their churches. And they gave us some time. And we were really grateful. And then they did this thing which totally blew us away. It was so unusual that I'm building it up now, but it's not unusual. But it was unusual to us. And we just thought, this is a bit weird. But basically, when we saw the first guy, as we left, he said, oh, before you go, I've got a little gift for you. And he gave us both a little bag. And in the bag, there was a little drink and some sweets and some shampoo and some other stuff. And we were kind of like, this is really cool. This is like, it is a bit weird, but it's really cool. But it was really nice because basically he wanted to say, thank you for taking your time out to come and visit what we're doing and give us your thoughts on it and input into it, even though we felt we were getting something out of it. So it was kind of like a little party bag. Does anyone, when they go to a kid's party, at kids' parties, they get party bags, don't they? Now, I've been thinking about this, and I think that why do any kids get party bags? Wouldn't you all want a party bag when you go to a party? Yeah, I'm annoyed myself because I had a party recently and didn't give any party bags out. I'm annoyed. So, all right, calm down. Don't lynch me. But wouldn't it be good to get a party bag when you leave church? Wouldn't it be good to get a party bag when you visit somebody? It's a cool idea, isn't it? It really got me thinking. I thought, you know, this is... We went to the next place, and they did the same. And obviously, these guys are kind of linked together, so that's... And we thought the first one, we thought, oh, maybe it's a bit of a joke. And then when the second guy gave us the party bag, we were like, this is a really cool thing. This is just... It's so simple, but it's so cool. We were really excited. So, you know, what it made me think was, actually, when people come to your house, you know, often when people come around for dinner, we had Bruce and Sue come around to ours recently and had a really nice meal. And they brought, I think, wine and chocolates and other stuff. We didn't actually get to eat the chocolates, did we? I ate them the next day. But when you go to someone's house, you take stuff as a gift because you're going to their house. But when people come to your house, I started thinking maybe you need to be like thanking them for their time, for coming to see you. Do you know what I mean? Give them a little party bag. So if ever you come to my house now, remind me of this and I will give you a little party bag. I might have to go, oh yeah, I've got it in here. I'll just go and get it for you and I'll be 5 minutes rummaging around. But yeah, I just thought it's a nice thing to give someone something. I don't know why I've got onto that. Anyway, one thing I will say is we've got some good friends, and when we go around their house, they offer to pray for us before we go. So they say, should we just pray? And it doesn't matter what time it is, or you know, whether it's in the afternoon, the morning, or the evening. And it's just a real blessing. It's just a real blessing. Who here, if someone said to you right now, can I pray for you? Who here would go, hang on, well, I don't think there's anything you can pray. You wouldn't, would you? Everyone has something that you could pray for. You know, it might take you a few minutes to think of something. You don't want to try and be too clever, but it's just brilliant. You know, so I'm encouraged to think, that's a challenge to think, when people come to my place or come to my office now, what am I giving them? How generous am I being with these people for saying, thank you for coming and seeing us. Thank you for coming and spending time to travel here and do that. So I think there's a lot we can learn and a lot we can do about being generous with our time. Okay, let's move on. Next one is... oh, this isn't working. Oh, there we go. Words. We can be generous with our words. In Luke 6, verse 37 and 38, it says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For what the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So basically, it's good to be generous because then the Lord can be generous to you and you're creating opportunity for more generosity. And I think generosity is actually one of those things that is kind of snowballs. So I think it's one of those things that the more generous you are to someone, the more generous they will be, the more generous they will be. And suddenly you've got all this kind of stuff going on and it all kind of comes back round. And do you know what I mean? Like it's a cultural, social dynamic where, you know, generosity is fueled. Now, in terms of words, I was trying to think of how much you speak over people, how much nice things you say about people. Now, whenever I go to a funeral, one of the saddest things that I find about funerals is that I always come away thinking, it's a real shame that the person whose funeral it is couldn't have heard everyone say all those nice things and see all those people there. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like I kept thinking, how can we almost have a funeral while we're alive? Because that's what you want, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Wouldn't you all want to be at your own funeral to see what people are saying about you and who turns up and all of that? Maybe not. I don't know. I would. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm kind of thinking, it's so sad that all of this great stuff gets said about people. And I think, why not? We should be saying this stuff. We should be saying this stuff before it's too late. Yeah? So there's a story which I heard when I was first become a Christian. I don't know whether it's real or not, but basically the story was, in a classroom, there was a little girl, and the teacher had, you know, just was a horrible teacher, didn't like this little girl, and basically... It's not a true story. I'm pretty sure it isn't a true story. And basically got all the kids in the class. The little girl was messing around. And basically the teacher said, right, I want everyone to come up and write something about this little girl on the blackboard. And people came up one by one and wrote, she smells. She's horrible. Her clothes are rubbish. And all this stuff. And basically the board is filling up with just horrible things about this little girl. And then from the back, someone says, enough's enough, walks down the front, grabs the blackboard marker, rubs everything out, and just writes, she is lovely. She is great. I love her. I want to hug her. She is brilliant. And just writes loads and loads of positive things. And basically, I heard this story, and it was all about how you speak over people and about what you say to people and what gets stuck in there. You know, we all probably have got things in our heads where someone said something about us, and that's the thing that sticks, regardless of 10 other people saying something nice. And I just felt like the way we can be most generous is with our words, because actually it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't take any time to say to someone, hey, you look really great today. Hey, I really appreciate what you did there. That's really good. Oh, the way you handled that was brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I love you. It's great. It's always good to see you. I'm always, you know, when I come to church and I see you, it always makes me smile. People, who put your hand up here if you don't like people saying nice things to you, or you wouldn't want that to happen. You're not going to, are you? Most people might be a bit embarrassing sometimes if people are doing it over and over, you know. I get that sometimes, but, you know, so please, come on. But, you know, going back to this funeral thing, I just think, what if you told someone what you loved about them before it was too late? What would that look like if we started to do that? What would happen if you told someone something special about them today? I want you all to think, if you need to close your eyes, you can, but I want you all to now think of someone that you think, I need to say something positive to that person. It doesn't need to be in the room here. It could be anyone. But have a think about, what is it? What's the one thing that you think, that's the thing I should be saying? You know, if that person wasn't there when I get home, or wasn't at work tomorrow, or wasn't at the football next time I go to the football, or whatever it is, what's the thing you think, oh, I wish I'd said that to that person? Have a think now. I want you to actually think of someone and something that you'd actually say to them. The challenge is, what might be different? What might change in that person if you actually said that today, right now? Something could, that act of generosity could just, it's not going to be a negative response, is it? No one's going to be negative about hearing something nice about them. Okay, so what I want you to do now is I want you all to get your phones out. So if you've got a phone, if it's switched off, switch it on, because you're going to need to switch it on. Like I said, I like a bit of audience participation in my talks, otherwise it's boring. So get your phones out. And here's what I want you to do. Has everyone got their phones? Show me your phones. Show me your phones. Let me see them. Oh, a good array of phones. I like it. Okay, so if you haven't got a phone, don't worry. You can write something down and do it when you get home. But if you've got a phone, what I want you to do, if you're willing, I want you, and you can... At this point, you can stand up, come up here, go outside, get some space, whatever you do. I want you to, if you're willing, I want you to phone that person right now and just say, hi there. And you can even blame me if you want. You can say, hi there, I'm at church. The speaker's just said we need to phone someone and say something nice to someone that we want to tell them. And you're the person I thought of. Who's gonna be disappointed? Hang on, what? You've thought of me when they had to think of something nice? So... say that, and then say, all I wanted to say is this. Da-da-da-da-da. It might be, you make really nice cakes. It could be anything. It could be, I really like your hair. I don't know. It could be, I love you. All right? It might be more like that. But if you're willing to, make a phone call now. We're going to stop the meeting just for a couple of minutes for you to do that. So make a phone call now. If you need to go out the room, go out the room. If you want to get a bit of privacy, happy to do that. Go outside in the car park, whatever you want to do. If not... if you want to just send a text, just send a text. Okay? Right, so we've got 1 minute. I'm going to do it as well. I'm going to send a text. But 1 minute, and then we're going to start back up again, okay? Go. You get the idea. I'm all for kind of doing stuff. So you get the idea, but have a think about that. It might be that you've got more than one person. It might be that there's lots of people. But let's start just trying to be generous with our words, because I'm sure it will grow. I'm sure it will happen. Okay, and the last one you'll be pleased to hear is possessions. So we've got on to money, stuff. Okay, so it's not just about money. It could be anything. It could be anything that we own. It could be something that it's not even necessarily something you give away. Again, you know, it's not about giving, but it could be about loaning someone, lending to someone. You know, I know there's lots of people that I borrow stuff from. I borrowed Nigel's chipper and broke it, actually. And probably need to replace that at some point, don't I? Yeah. It's a bit awkward. That's a confession. I feel weight lifted. I'm just going to text Nigel. Okay, so it could be anything. It could just be food. It could be generous portions. Who likes generous portions? Yeah, I like generous portions. I like generous portions. Okay, so let me just ask you something. If I was to go behind there and bring out a tray of 50 cupcakes and give them to you, just have a think, what would you do with them? Straight away, what would you do with them? Eat them, all of them. You'd eat all of them. One of them. But you'd probably, chances are, you'd probably share them out with people, wouldn't you? You'd probably be generous and share them around. I haven't got 50 cupcakes before everyone starts getting excited. I know I should have brought them. Okay, another way of thinking about it is Linda Southwood once did a talk at Holy Trinity, and she said this thing was, if you had a... I'm going to get it wrong again, so I'm on sticky ground. I've got to remember this for my next talk. Okay, and she said, if you woke up in the morning, you checked your bank balance online, and there was £1 million in there, and you phoned the bank and said, there's a bit of a mistake, someone's put £1 million in my account, blah, 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 and they said, no, it's not a mistake, it's yours, you can do what you want with it. And I always remember this talk, because I remember thinking, yes, God, come on, do it. It still hasn't happened, but I'm sure it will. People are now texting me strange messages. I'm going to have to turn that over. That's just... Stop it. I know you cheeky lot. Okay. But, you know, if you had £1 million in your account tomorrow morning, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? You know, some of us are now smiling. We're now excited about this £1 million. But you would... The chances are, again, after you've kind of bought whatever it is you want to buy for yourself, you'd probably think, oh, do you know what, I'm going to sort them out with a bit of money, or I'm going to support them, or I'm going to do this, wouldn't you? You'd probably be generous with the money. And the thing is like, we don't have to wait till there's £1 million in our bank account to do that. Because actually, a lot of the time, the needs that are around us aren't big needs financially, aren't big needs possession-wise. They're not. They're just some food, some clothes, whatever. If you talk to the guys that go to Wycombe, they'll be able to tell you. So why not start with a less amount? Now, we can probably justify in our heads a lot where we think about, you know, one day this, one day that, what when this happens, I'll do that. When I win the lottery, I'll do that or whatever. That's what my dad says anyway. And I keep saying, you're not going to win the lottery. Just give me your pound each week. I'll give you the same odds. Okay, so I read this story. I'll be £50 up each year. That's brilliant. 52, I know, I'm not good at maths. So I read this story, and I just thought this is a good story to read out, so I'm just going to read this out. In 2009, Dan Black was hit by a car in his hometown, and as he was biking to his grocery store, a job at a grocery store, the accident left him paralysed from the chest down. During his recovery, he suffered a stroke that rendered his right arm all but useless. Once a promising guitarist, Dan, now 25, lived with his parents and requires all-around-the-clock care that costs nearly $300,000 a year. After the accident, a friend of Dan's started up the Help Dan Black Fund to defray some of Dan's medical expenses. Dan learned about an experimental stem cell treatment in China that could enable him to walk again. Okay, so this guy's paralyzed, and this treatment could help him to walk again. After 4 years, donations to the Help Dan Black and money from several other fundraisers totaled nearly $30,000. One day in the summer of 2013, a news story caught the eye of Dan's mother, Michaela, who then shared the article with her son. The story featured a local 5-year-old boy named Breacon, who had a rare form of cerebral palsy and had never walked without assistance. The boy's family had created a website with which to raise nearly $100,000 needed for a trip to St. Louis Children's Hospital, where treatment was offered that could help Breacon walk. Only half the amount had been raised, said the report. Dan deliberated, then after considering that his own dream of walking could be years away, he donated all of his $30,000, which could have helped him walk, to Breacon's cause. I wouldn't wish getting paralysed on anyone, Dan told another newspaper. I know how it feels to walk. Breacon doesn't. He needs it much more than I do now. Dan's generosity received a great deal of attention, and contributions started pouring into the Vaughan's website. The family soon exceeded their fundraising goal, and they've pledged in excess funds about $17,000 to a Tree of Hope charity, which helps sick children in the United Kingdom find specialised medical help. In October, Breacon and his family travelled to St. Louis to begin treatment. I just read that and I thought, this is incredible. Here's, if ever there was someone that said, actually, no, I need this. I need this money. You know, this is a pretty good reason to say, I need this money. You know, and it's easy for us to go, well, I need this. I need this stuff. I need my money. Or I need this car. I need this whatever it is. And this guy here, he's got this amazing story where basically he's saying, well, I do need this, but actually this little guy needs it more than me because I know what it is to walk. He doesn't. So I'm going to give all my money to him. And I just think, I read that and I was like, wow, this is incredibly powerful. So it just made me think, it just was a good story to think, this is a challenge. This is a challenge because it's easy to justify what we have and think, well, I've got enough for myself, I'll give out, you know, I'll be generous out of the excess. But actually, sometimes God is calling us to be generous out of what he's given us rather than the excess. Okay, right, time's nearly up and I want to do a little response situation. So there is another story, actually, which I'll just quickly paraphrase. But basically, there was this woman in the States and she went through a it's called Heavenly Donuts. It's a drive-through donut shop. And basically, she's driven through and she's got to the counter and the woman said, what did you want? Here's some donuts for you. And she's gone, great, how much do I owe you? And the woman's gone, nothing. And she said, what? Surely I've got to pay for these donuts. And the lady on the counter said, no, the people in the car in front have just paid for your donuts. I mean, we've all heard these stories, haven't we, right? We've done it before, going through tolls in France and stuff, where you pay for the car behind, it's all exciting, and you all look back, and you're like, look at their faces, they look all confused, and then they're going, cheers, thanks. So it's exciting stuff. But anyway, so this woman, she goes, wow, that's incredible, they paid for my donuts. So there's no like, they paid for your donuts, and they also said, Jesus loves you. Or there's not like, they paid for your donuts, and you've got to go to their church this Sunday, none of that. She's basically just, you've paid for your donuts. So anyway, so this woman's like blown away, thinks this is brilliant. She then goes, next time she goes to Heavenly Donuts, I get no money for mentioning Heavenly Donuts, by the way, just to be clear. She decides, I'm going to do it to the car behind. So she then buys the donuts for the car behind. And then what happens is it happens for 55 people who go through, all pay for the car behind, and it makes the news and all this stuff. But this is an example of what I'm saying about the fact that when you are generous to someone, it starts a chain reaction. It makes something happen, because the chances of that person then being generous in the same way are very high. When I thank someone for their time, or someone thanks me for my time, I think, oh, I will thank someone for their time next time I do that. That's really nice. When Dave and I go and visit churches in Kent area and have a nice time with their leaders and talk about what God's doing with them and all this stuff and feel really blessed, and they give us a little goodie bag, it makes me think, I need to start giving people goodie bags, because I like that. That's good, and it's generous. So the question is, what now? What do we do now? So the questions are, what are we going to do? Who are we going to pray for? Who are the people that we're going to say this week, can I pray for you? Five words. If nothing else from today, just take that away, because that could change someone's life dramatically. Who are you going to pray for this week? Who are we going to create some room in our diary for? Who are we going to cancel a meeting or stop, you know, something going somewhere else, or change our routine for? Who are we going to not go to the gym to see this week? Who are we going to make that time for? Someone that's been knocking on our door, someone that's been wanting to see us, someone that we feel like we might need to approach. Actually, I probably need to go around and see that person. I probably need to make time for them. I probably need to speak to them. Who are we going to speak truth over? Who are we going to start telling them we love them? Who are we going to start telling them we think they're great? Who are we going to start telling that when they're in the room, it makes us feel better? Who are the people that we're going to say, I just love the fact that you encourage people, or I've watched you and I think it's brilliant the way you support these people, or do this or do that? Who are the people we're going to encourage with our words? And whose need can we meet with something that we have? What have we got? What do we own? What do we have in our hand that we could say to God, I don't have much, but this is what I've got and it's yours? What have we got that we might be saving something really important, that we might have that $30,000 thinking this could help me walk one day, and then think, actually, it needs to go there because this little guy needs it more than me. Who's got a need greater than yours? Who are you going to give something to? Now, I'm going to finish with this. This, for those of you that are into sport, will know is a baton. It's a relay baton. And I came across this recently, and basically it's this website, passmeon.org. And basically it's a charity that's been set up about generosity. And when I heard this, I just thought it was the best thing ever. So I've bought a load of these batons, and I've got them here today. But basically the idea is that you get this baton, and you take it, and you do something generous to someone, and you say, there you go, I've been generous to you, God loves you, you go and be generous to someone else. Doesn't even need to be someone who's a Christian. Beautiful, isn't it? So you can walk up to anybody, you can do something nice for someone and just go, look, I've done something nice for you, go and do something nice for someone else. A random act of kindness, whatever you want to call it. Okay? And then the best part is every one of these batons is numbered. And then you go on that website and you put in your number. And then what you can do is you can say, so-and-so gave me the baton because they did this for me. And now I've done this for someone and I've passed it on. And then even better than that, you can actually see a map and track where the baton's going. You're loving it as much as me now, right? It's brilliant, isn't it? It's absolute genius. So basically, you can actually see the relay you've been part of, the relay that you've started, something that you've done. Okay, Kaz and I were down in Torquay last weekend, and there's a new pioneer church that's just started in Torbay, which we've been sort of helping the guys with a little bit in terms of just supporting them, being their friends. And we went along to their very first meeting last Sunday, and it was absolutely brilliant. Kaz actually didn't get prayed for, but prayed for healing on her wrist. She had a bad wrist, and this whole week she's not had to wear a wrist splint. So she's now healed of her bad wrist, because we were at this meeting and God was there. And God's doing something. And I took one of these and I went up to these guys and I said, guys, God's doing something in you lot. And God's mark of generosity is on this church. And this baton is going to be a symbol of how far and wide you can reach. So take it, register it, and watch it. Because first, what happens is you see little lines just appearing around your area because that's where it stays. But then suddenly, someone takes it away with them and gives it to someone. Then suddenly, they go abroad and they give it to someone. And I've gone on the website and you can look to see where some of the batons have gone. And they start going all over the world. The map suddenly gets a lot smaller and a lot of a bigger picture. And you start seeing the lines and it's quite exciting. So basically, I want to finish. The questions are more important, okay? So the response today is, can I pray for you, all right? But I've got, I don't know how many I've got these. I've got about 19 of these batons. And if you want one of these, you can take it. There is a suggested donation of £5, so I can buy some more. That'd be great. So any money that I get tonight, I'll go and buy some more. But if you want to take one. It's my gift to you. Otherwise, if you want to leave a fiver, then great. So they're in these boxes. If you want one of these, grab one. If they've all gone, come and see me, and I'll make a list of names, and I'll make sure I get some more. The guy that came up with this idea is the guy that started The Entertainer, a guy called Gary Grant, who's a lovely Christian guy. Is that funny, is it? You know him. Oh, no, okay. So, I think it's a great idea. I said to him, I think this is genius what you've done here. So, basically, that's it from me. Thanks very much for listening. They're there. Ooh, oh, look at that. They're actually real batons. That's the classic thing. So I was thinking, can you not make something that would fit in my pocket? But actually, you don't, do you? Because you want something that's going to remind you to do it. So there we go. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you, Keith.